Lord, would you teach us from your word? Lord, some of these things might be old hat to us. Remind us of them. Lord, we know that Genesis 1, 2, and 3 are so foundational. It literally makes the difference in how we see the rest of Scripture and how we live our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would just open our eyes to your word today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let me read verses 18 to 25. They're in your notes, or you can turn there. You're welcome to that, of Genesis chapter 2. And the verse 18, we looked at verse 4 through 17 last week when God created the first man. Remember, he created the man. He placed the man in the garden. He gave him a purpose and a job, if you will. And then he created, and then he commanded the man, right, about the tree. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now we're going to probably cover up through verse 23 today, but there's some overlap that we'll see next week. Because I wanted to look at the creation of the woman separately from marriage, because I think there's enough to be said about marriage that we're going to just set aside next week for that. All right? Anybody have any questions on Genesis 1 or Genesis 2 to date? I don't often stop. Feel free to raise your hand anytime in the process, okay? Number one, and this is kind of just an outline. I have 3 points for this outline, but lots of sub-points, okay? God identifies something missing. Now, it's interesting. When we had the chart up here on the wall, all except for day 2, God said it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then at the very end of day 6, he said it was very good. In the middle of day 6, he says it's not good. Did he create something not good? Did God create something that wasn't good? How could he say that? It wasn't finished. That's my idea here. God didn't really complete something on day 2. So he didn't say it was good because it's kind of like, well, I'm not done yet. In Georgia, every pastor down in the South is enamored with food. And they get really, I went to a pastor's fellowship once, maybe a couple times, but they're like very amen-ish. You know, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I remember this one guy was given an illustration. And it was like, you know what? I'm not particularly fond of flour. Hear some amen, hallelujah. And I'm not particularly, I don't particularly enjoy eating raw eggs. Yeah, and then, I don't know, he went through the ingredients of a cake, right? So, but when you stir it together, and then all of a sudden, you would think God was coming back with all the boisterous, it was just ridiculous, you know, like, please, gentlemen, you're adults, you know, but and then you put it in the oven, and it, you know, the idea is, you know, when Adam was created, somewhere along day 2, it wasn't the complete product. Adam was part of the completed product, but he wasn't everything. It's not good for man to be alone. And God isn't, we're going to talk about this a little bit, but God isn't like, oops, missed that one or whatever. He's just, think of it as talking out loud as he's doing this, okay? He knows what he's doing. It's not a surprise. It's not a bummer. I forgot that one, you know. Somehow that slipped off the blueprint there. But what's not good? It says, not good that man should be alone. So notice here, the first bullet, and I have four black bullets there, says, God made the not good determination. He's the one that said that. Okay? And it's not hard when you, if you stop and just contemplate about the creation of man and the creation of woman, that and even every man needs to grasp this, that God designed him to need somebody else. It's not good for man to be alone. Now, men like to be prideful. They like to be think they're independent until they're sick, and then they're the biggest babies on the face of the earth. Did I say that out loud? Okay. But, you know, but it's there's certain things, and God made them the way they are to lead and to, you know, to fight and to do all these things. But at the same time, they're like hollow without their wife. They're not what they can be or should be without their wife. And that's what God, it's not good that man should be alone. God's the one that made the determination. And I put in your notes here, this was by God's design all along. Like I said, he's not like, oops, man, that's like leaving the roof off the, you know, the house, forgot that, you know, need to order some more lumber, something like that. No, it's just part of the process, but he's just, he's going out of his way to state this so we can know this. Okay, so we can know by the very nature of the man's creation that he's not intended to function alone. Okay? It's God's design all along. He wasn't finished. Now, it's not good that man should be alone. And I give you at least two reasons, and I'll write them up here too. The first one I don't think is as strong as the second one, and a lot of people would reject my idea. But the first one is marriage is for companionship. You know, and we're not into marriage yet, but this is an idea. It's not good for man to be alone. So they pick up on alone, and they say, well, he needs a companion. So companionship. And I agree with that to a point. That's the line there. It says, not good that man should be alone for companionship, okay? That's that first line there. What's, and we'll talk about this more next week, but what's the essence of marriage? Is it companionship? Dory says it's oneness. I don't disagree. It's reproduction. Because if companionship is the essence of marriage, then what's your big deal with homosexual marriage? Does that make sense? Can you have companions that are of the same gender? No, but I'm saying it's true, but people focus just on this term. But we'll go on and define it further. It's not just a companion. It's a comparable helper. Okay? So that defines the companionship, which people pick up, well, marriage is for companionship, and we're happy together, and so therefore it should be legitimate. Okay? And it's not, because they're not reading everything that God said. Okay, look at the second part. God, notice here, God could have created another man, but he didn't. And we're going to get back to that idea. And God himself was there. We're going to get back to that idea too. that God created man to need someone, and you'll have me hear me say this several times today, not identical to him, but similar to him. Similar, but not the same. The woman is not the same as the man on purpose. And we're not talking just physically, though that is certainly part of it. But it's all the way around. Have you noticed, guys, that girls aren't like you? Remember that conversation you were having before Sunday school? It was on the mysteries of God. Jenny said something like that, and I said, are you talking about men? Like, because men are different than women too. Okay? And on purpose. Now, we're both fallen now. We have sin-infected thinking, sin-infected lives, sin-infected bodies, but we still are wired like men and women. Okay? By God's design. The second thing here is, and you have to take these together, it's not or, for children. Now, Jenny hit on this earlier. Chapter 1 has already taken place. God said, let us make man in our image. Da, 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 da. Okay, and then he creates the man. And then he creates the woman, and he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, you know, all that. You cannot do that without a male and a female. And we're not talking, listen now, a lot of people, it's like, well, it isn't just children, but I'm saying if you leave out the idea that marriage is intended for children, you have left out the idea for marriage altogether because it's male and female. And the only reason under the sun for male and female, now again, there's other parts too, is reproduction. Otherwise, you'll have to say the homosexual marriage proponents are correct. God said he made a male and he made a female, and his primary purpose on earth is for them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. They could not do that without children. Okay? They could not do that without children. So it's not good that man should be alone. He could not be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, or have dominion over the earth apart from his wife, not only in the physical bearing children capacity, but also her help. Okay, it isn't just I need some kind of mechanism to birth children. Absolutely not. That's not what we're saying. It's part the fact that the woman is the bearer of the children, but she is also the completer of the man. Okay? It's those two together, and you cannot separate them without forgetting what God says in the Word of God. Okay? Both of those go together. Companionship and procreation. And companionship, but when God says it's not good for man to be alone, someone is assigning the word companionship. But alone has a lot more to do with bearing children than it does just having someone to chat with in the evenings. Okay? It's not saying, God's not focusing on, oh, he has no one to talk with. He's saying it's not good for man to be alone because he needs to be able to reproduce. The human race needs to be able to reproduce. So alone, a lot of times people say, yeah, it's sad to be alone and all this. It's like, that isn't what he's talking about. At least not in a huge way. He's saying, no, man needs a woman. Not just companionship, otherwise go to the bar and find companions. Okay? Or join a football team or what, you know, whatever the case may be, go quilting or whatever. Get companions. Or have a dog. Man's best friend, right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Good thing my wife's not here. But no. Right. But I'm saying, like, God did this on purpose, I believe, to set pattern even. You know, it wasn't that he wasn't like, oh, Adam needs someone to talk to. No, that being alone has everything to do with needing the woman as a comparable helper to complete the human race, if you will, because it's male and female that need to be together as a team, because man is incomplete on his own and the woman is incomplete on her own, okay, to accomplish all that's necessary. And part of what is necessary is bearing children. That cannot be had in a homosexual marriage. We're going to talk about that more next week. Was the man alone? So it's not good for man to be alone. And again, this shows you that it is not just something to do with I am lonely. Okay? Who's there?
God.
Yeah, God was there? So you're saying God can't keep him company? It's interesting that God created man to need other people. Okay? In a general sense, people need people, not just God. He created us for that. But also, a man needs a woman. Okay? What else? Someone said it already. Animals are there, right? In fact, God led him around and let him name them all. Okay? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yes. It's not the word, it's what it has to do with. Alone. It's not the concept, but it's not lonely per se. But I haven't done a word study on alone. Yeah. But the concept is it's not good, it's not complete by himself. Man is not complete by himself. He needs not just another person, he needs a woman. Okay? All right? Yeah, I would probably add it. I think that I'll add it right here. I don't know that I'd replace that, because I think there's an element of that that's true, but it's the companionship of a woman, not just the companionship of anyone.
Exactly.
Okay, so, and maybe I should... Right, exactly. Okay? So companionship of a woman and then completion of the man, because they're both different, and we're going to get into that a little bit later here. At the bottom of your notes here, man needs a... Notice here it says, I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Man's not finished, so he needs a completer, something to complete him. It's an unfinished project because he doesn't have the rest of him yet. Okay? Man needs a comparable helper. Now listen, the idea of comparable is down below here. It's similar. Similar, but not identical. Okay? Again, this is the core, and this is why we're taking this separately. Okay? Woman is similar, but not identical to the man. Okay? Similar means same. Or not, like, I should say. It's like, but not the same. Like as in human? He just looked at all the animals, right? And he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, as opposed to cow, donkey, monkey over here. Okay? But not identical in that she's a woman, not a man. She's similar but not the same. She's similar but not identical. And that's key. That's God's design, was similar, not identical. Again, God did not create Adam with a male companion, because a male companion is not comparable, it's identical. A male companion does not meet the companionship of a woman, a comparable companionship of a woman, as opposed to the identical companionship of a man. It doesn't meet the ability to have children at all. And again, the completing factor, God created a woman differently than a man because a woman is different than a man on purpose at multiple levels. And I think I have a theory that works pretty good in that. Whether it's true or not, I'll let you decide. The last one that's at the top of your page, I guess. It looks like I ran into the next one. Go ahead, Jenny.
Similar, but not identical.
Yes. The woman is similar. And I would say it this way. Remember, he just looked at all the animals, right? She's human. She's like me. But she's not identical to me. She's different. Okay? So she's like me, but not the same as me. She's human. She's of the human race. But she's not a man. She's a woman. So she's like me, she's similar, she's human, but she's not like me, she's not male, she's female. And I'm not saying that just physically. I'm talking emotionally, the way a woman thinks, the way a woman talks, the way a woman acts. All of those things are by God's design. She's like me, but not the same as me. Okay? Good question. Now we're on the top of the backside. Helper. A lot of people hate this. A lot of people reject this. Even in conservative circles now, this is almost it's totally defined away. We're going to talk about this more next week. I'm not sure how it'll flesh out yet. But let me ask you this. Does that define in any way the purpose of the woman? Yeah, that's a loaded question. The answer is absolutely yes. Okay, what is the God-designed purpose of the woman? To help the man. Because he's not good alone. Got it? So we can say complete or whatever, but it has to be a woman, not a man. Because that's what she's designed to do. A man cannot complete a man at every level. At multiple levels, I'm saying at any level. It's a different kind of relationship, okay? God created a woman to complete the man, to finish the man, to do that. But listen, the woman is not It very much indicates that the woman is not a separate direction. Okay? And we have totally flipped this upside down in the last 40 years. Okay? We've rejected it. And listen to me closely, and this is something that maybe we need to hear but we don't want to hear kind of idea. But a lot of people talk about homosexual marriage. What is homosexual marriage? It's a man living with a man or a woman living with a woman. Now listen to me. What does that have to do? Usually in a homosexual marriage, someone is playing the man, someone's playing the woman, regardless of what it is. Okay? I'm not the first to say that many marriages that have a man and a woman are already homosexual marriages because they have no differentiation of their roles. Does that make sense? The women and the men have mixed up their roles and responsibilities so that they are no longer functioning as their God-intended designed role. And so homosexual marriage has been around a lot longer. It's just been in the backward mode where we have lost the distinction between male and female, men and women as God had intended. Okay? One of the things that I share with this, and I don't know how much we'll get into it next week because these kind of go together, but I'm trying to artificially separate them. When God created Adam, what did he do? He created him. Now what? What did he do after that? Okay, he created him. So he's already created. He's already alive. What did he do with him? Okay, he's in a garden. Got that? To me, this is huge too. Puts Adam in the garden. See Adam? He's right there and he's actually waving at you. See, Adam's in the garden waving. When he creates the woman, what does he not do that he did for Adam? Yeah. It wasn't, here's a garden over here. She's waving at you too. Right? Why? Okay, but let me ask you this. Is that a different career then? What's a different garden look like? He gave Adam a job tend and keep the garden. What was her job? Yeah, to help the man, not to be over here. Have we not completely redefined life in the last 40 or 50 years? Huh? So now every woman has her own garden. I remember one of my brothers, I won't say who it is, one of their things is in their vows. So I will respect you as a professional. And I'm like thinking, what? What? Well, you know, the idea that I went to school and you went to school and you can't treat me less because... And I'm like, what a step down from what God intended. That is too individualistic. But I'm saying, and a lot of people, God didn't give Eve a project, an independent project. This is inside the garden, by the way, okay? She's still in. He brought her to the man. And that's why when people get involved over here, there's no way that this works well. Is that fair to say that? Because God brings her here. That's the purpose, to help him. And if the man isn't being helped because the woman is in her own garden, is there not issues that start and happen with that? She's not supposed to be over here. She's supposed to be helping him do what he's doing. Because he's not what? Good alone. Does that make sense? And yet the Christian church, by and large, has ejected and rejected that teaching. And it totally changes the view of marriage. And manhood and womanhood because of that. And it affects everything in the home. Because different garden. Then it changes what we have time for and what we are able to focus on. Impossible not to affect it. Okay? One garden, by the way, is the word after helper. It's one garden up at the top. I can say only from experience at this point, plus what I've taught you and what I believe the Word of God clearly indicates by pattern and principle, that I would be a tenth of the man that I am today if my wife had her own career. But she's home, she's able to teach my children, our children, I'm not saying that my in a personal, that I'm saying we're, and she's able to minister in ways that it would be impossible to minister if she had her own career. And I believe people destroy what God intends for man to accomplish because women get distracted by doing other things. Helper, not separate. Yeah, it's only one garden. if you think. Yeah. One in my notes, sorry, but I had a big, huge one here. One garden. I capitalized one garden, not two. You might say it that way. And again, this stuff creeps in over time, and people justify this, all of these things, and it creeps into the church, and it changes things. And people think, well, that's not really a big deal. And to me, that's the foundational deal. Because the family is the core of all of society. The family is the core of the church. Does this change the economy? If this is true, absolutely does. If you read history at all, one of the biggest things the Republicans, thank you Republicans, liked about World War II is it got women in the workforce. Cheap labor. Seriously. Why do you think immigration, illegal immigration, is a big deal? Cheap labor. People are fed by their greed, right? It's not an issue. It has nothing to do with, there's other issues, but that's the thing. But it affects everything. One of the key issues of this man in the garden thing is earning a living wage. We used to call it that, a living wage so a man could support his family, right? One income. Does that change that? Now a man doesn't need as much, and now the companies don't have to pay as much. It changes everything. Yeah, well, I mean, this gives it temporarily more, but it ultimately jacks the prices of everything up, is all it does, because people can pay more, because they have two incomes. It doesn't help at all in the long run. Okay? Number two. We're on number two. That's funny. Okay, God confirms no comparable mate was yet created. God shows Adam that no helper exists to this point is the idea. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a what? A helper comparable. Yeah, so they're looking for something specific. Not, boy, that's a nice puppy, you know, kind of thing. Now let me just race through these, and then I'll get to number three. God knew what he had planned for Adam. He wasn't like, Adam, see if anything can come up since I overlooked it. He wasn't doing that. I think he was doing this on purpose. God let Adam exercise his authority over creation. He named all the animals. Adam was created very smart and could think, speak, etc. He wasn't like a caveman, like a lot of people think about. God assigned this to Adam to learn his own incompleteness. He could see how God created everything else in pairs and the inadequacy of, how did I write that? Of creation thus far to provide a comparable, it should be helper in your notes there. Okay, so incompleteness and inadequacy, it was a lesson for Adam. Adam, there's nothing here. God has to do something. All right? So number three. Number two is simply God just shows Adam through a routine, if you will, that Adam, there was no comparable helper in the creation thus far. And I think it kind of emphasizes the emptiness. His incompleteness and all of that. It's like, wow, I've looked and there's nothing. And also, by the way, when God brings the woman, it's like, again, like kind of like what we did in the morning service, it contrasted. It's like, no. It isn't, you know, elephants, okay. And then they bring the woman and it's like, this is perfect. It's me. It's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He kind of responded that way. Number three, God creates the first woman. God makes a special helper for Adam. And again, I use that second phrase, God makes a special helper for Adam on purpose because that's biblical terminology. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. God determines and defines the solution. He didn't ask Adam, what do you think you need? Right? He didn't pull Adam. God knew what he was doing. He's doing it on purpose. And guess what? He knew what the final solution, the best solution, the right solution, the very good solution was. God performs the first surgery. He doesn't go into detail, but it's interesting that Adam's alive, puts him to sleep, takes a rib. Some commentators say, well, probably flesh with the rib, you know, because he says flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. I don't know that it requires that or not, but he probably didn't clean the rib off, you know what I mean? From the man, he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He slept and he took one of his ribs. He took the rib from the man. Now, what's the significance of this? And this will get back into kind of this like and similar thing. From the man, to indicate sameness. And what do we mean by sameness? We're talking about human. Remember we said that? He just looked at all the animals, named them, and they're different than him. And this woman, he takes from the man, literally from the man, and makes into a woman. And then also to indicate source. The Bible talks about the woman first being from the man before the man being from the woman. Okay, the source, woman is from the man. We said that, okay? It's in your notes. Woman is from the man. By the way, that gives her her identity. Does that make sense? God could have created a woman from the dirt, just like Adam, right? But instead, he took her from Adam, so she is literally part of Adam. So that gives her the same value. We talked about the image of God. It's my understanding that the man is created in the image of God, the male. And that's the wording of Scripture. A lot of people are offended by that. But then the woman is taken from the man, and so she inherits that. Okay? Because she's from the man. I think it's different. I think the man is different than the woman by function, but not value. The woman is defined and identified by being part of the man. That's different again than you have here, over here. The two garden idea, the me, myself, and I, and her and me and all that. Dory mentioned it's the oneness. Oneness is in function, not just in physical or whatever. Sameness as humans. Okay, so far so good. Now, from the man, what's the significance of that? It indicates the sameness. Woman's human. The source, woman is from the man. So, and you might want to put identification or identity on the side of that. But also, why from the man's rib? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this. People do. And I put here, well, if he took it from his leg, you know, it took one of his legs, he'd be limping for the rest of, you know, if God didn't disable the man to make the woman. He seemed to be disabled before she was created anyway, to some degree or another. He didn't take an arm or a leg or an ear or anything, but he took a rib, so that's something that you can expend, if you will. It possibly indicates closeness. Some people say he didn't take it from the head or the foot. That's extra biblical. The Bible doesn't really explain why, but it might indicate closeness. You know, it's your being is oftentimes considered near the heart or whatever. Possibly indicates equality, though being from Adam's body does indicate that also. Again, since you are from Adam, you are just like Adam, and therefore you have the quality of Adam, and therefore the value of Adam. So it doesn't really require it to be a rib to indicate that. Okay, so those are kind of guesses or whatever, but it's still, God just tells us he took a rib and he made it. But the ultimate thing is, I think, the source and the sameness idea. The last point is God made into woman. Now, do you have any blanks in here? Okay. God made into a woman. What's the significance of that? And again, we'll continue this discussion next week some, but it's, he did not make another man. He made her from the same, similar, if you will, he made her into something different. She was human, but she was not male. She was female. And again, not just physically, but in all the ways that God designed a woman to be different than man. The way she thinks, the way she responds, her capacity for kindness, her gentleness and all that, that maybe the man isn't normal on. Needed for bearing children, obviously the physical, God made them male and female, and to me that is the essential element of marriage. Why do I say that? And I preached 4 sermons on this a couple of years ago on Genesis 1, 26 and 27. But the idea is you cannot procreate with a male and a male, but also marriage is only for this life. Right? Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? The woman that had 7 husbands. It's like you don't even get it. They're not given in marriage in the resurrection. Marriage is for earth and primarily for procreation, raising children. Okay, in conjunction with the man accomplishing his mission and the woman helping him do that. Okay, we're saying that. But children are an integral, necessary by God's plan. Okay, to me, a marriage without children by choice is a violation of what God says marriage is intended to be. Okay, that just misses the point of marriage. Well, I want someone to talk to. Well, get a dog. A dog won't even talk back. Right? Won't even disagree with you. Go bowling. Join a bowling team. That's not what marriage is about by itself. Do you have conversations? Yes. Two-way conversations? Yes, even sometimes. I'm teasing here. There's that companionship, but guess what? It's different. I can't imagine being married to a guy. Just on the conversation level, it's completely different. It's like raising boys and girls. We used to have more girls. Now we have more boys, and it's like you look outside and there's 2 boys rolling by your window. It never happened when we had girls. You know what I'm saying? They're having tea parties in the whatever, dressing up or whatever. The guys are out there beating up on each other, and they're not fighting. They're just doing guy stuff, you know? That's what guys do, you know? And they're 3 and 6. Is Samuel 3 yet? Okay, 3 and 6. I mean, just crazy, you know? Why? Because they're different. They're needed for being similar but different. A helper comparable to him but not identical to him, bringing unique abilities and gifts to him, thus providing abilities and capabilities that he lacked. Now I have circle illustration. This is what I want to show you. You've seen this before if you've been around me at all. Okay? And Les, I'll describe it. But I'm going to draw, and you can draw this on your sheet, okay? What I want you to do is draw a half circle like this. Okay? Half circle. This is my theory. This is the Kevin Suber theory of men versus women. Half circle. Everybody got a half circle? Marv, does that look like you? It's gonna. Okay, half circle. And then what I want you to do is create like rigid, like that. You can draw it any way you want. The pattern, the key is that it's rigid. Okay? Now you look at that and you say, as God would say, it's not good for man to be alone. Try and roll that puppy down the street. Okay? It's a half of a ball, if you will, with jagged edges. It doesn't work by itself. Not well, okay? Now my theory, and maybe this is beyond the text here, but a helper comparable to him, God doesn't ever, he doesn't create another man and then have jagged edges. That wouldn't help. It wouldn't. Yeah, they would not go together. But my theory is this, that God creates a woman, and one of the fascinating things about a woman is that she's flexible. And I don't say that in some trite way. I look at every guy that's married, and God gives him a woman, and that woman has the capacity. I drew like a amoeba on the right side, Les, just so you know. But that woman has the capacity, and usually over time, okay, because when you get married, it doesn't instantly, everything's working fine, and have you noticed that? Okay, I was just checking. Maybe it was just my experience. Yeah, it's just reading books about it. I've heard people having issues. But over time, God takes this, and man, I don't know why, and I'm not saying the man doesn't improve some, okay? Maybe his edges get less sharp, but he's kind of the way God made him. And he might be extrovert and introvert. He might be really good in math or not, but it's just kind of the way he is, okay? And that's kind of the garden idea, okay? God puts him in, and that's the way he is. But eventually, over time, God takes that woman and completes him, okay? It isn't instantaneous, again, and maybe, you know, I'm leaving gaps here, okay, you understand? So that it doesn't look like it's a perfect meshing, because that's an ongoing process, right? But the idea is, then God takes this man and this woman who he's made into one, right? That we haven't talked about marriage yet, that whole oneness idea, to accomplish a singular thing that's largely defined by the man in his garden. It's a single effort by two people functioning as a unit to accomplish God's mission for the man. Does it make the woman less important? It makes her all important, right? To the man, he's kind of not good, right? Apart from the woman. And again, this is incomplete. You know, the ball isn't a fully complete ball because we're both sinners. We live in a sin-filled world, and the perfections of life are not there. But you get the idea. And that's what I think the woman has, in many ways, the greater capacity, because she ends up becoming what her husband needs. She's not specifically defined. I'm not saying women don't have personalities, because they do. You know, everyone's different. But she can become what he's lacking in a magical way. And I see that. Every time I see people get married, it ends up being like that. It's like, you know, you mentioned something about that yesterday, Dory. I think so. You know, that's why God brought us together. And I can't even remember the context. But it's exactly right. Okay? God brings the two together. We're going to talk about that next week. But the woman has the capacity to become where the man can only refine what he is. That's my theory. He can get better at what he is, but the woman can complete him, and she is moldable, and that's her strength. But also, by design, she's also moldable, which is her weakness if she's doing something she's not intended to do as the woman. It doesn't make her bad. She's spectacular, and she makes the man become what the man can be only with her help, which is, to me, outstanding. And I can say that with, you know, if you don't think I'm much now, you should have. You can only guess what I'd be like without my wife. Okay? So, but it's amazing. And that's the specialness of the woman. And I believe that also leads into Genesis 3, when the devil goes to the woman rather than to the man, too. Okay? He plays on her strength and makes it her weakness. That's my theory, anyway. So, okay? Does that help? Yes.
Okay.
then the marriage is strong.
And
the union is strong.
It doesn't take away the responsibility of the man to get the jagged edges off and stuff. You know what I mean? It's not just the woman that makes the marriage, but it definitely helps. The flexibility. Yes. Yeah. It does. I would say that the woman can make it easy. It doesn't take away the responsibility for the man to be the man, to be mature, to be responsible, but the woman has that flexible capacity. That way, so. And I think it's brilliant. I think only God could have figured this out. There's a man and he's not good. And every man that's half honest, I mean, when the wife's not there, and pretty much you might as well just lock the door of the house. You know what I mean? Because it's going to be a destruction if when she gets back, you know, whatever the case might be. And that's the capacity factor. It's just amazing. Yeah, it is, absolutely. So, we're going to pick up here, but I wanted to do the man first, then the woman, because there's something to do with the order. But I also wanted to talk about the woman, by God's design, how He made her. And then next week, it's just a little bit of passage, but we're going to jump into Genesis 1 and back into Genesis 2 some. About marriage. We're going to talk about that specifically, though you can't separate the two by the, you know, how God did it. But anyway, we'll get into it, but it's very interesting. Lord, bless our study, and Lord, we want to learn, we want to think like You think in the creation, and Lord, we know that much of this has been abandoned, and Lord, every one of us has to learn. It's not something we're born with, but I pray, Lord, that You would just help us to see Your word and embrace it and encourage others to do the same. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.